Now let's join Holly Steffi and Red Velvet Media as we explore the inspirational worlds of music, media, and more.
Such a great song, and welcome to Red Velvet Media Blog Talk Radio. And today is a special show. Normally I do shows on Wednesdays and Fridays, but today we have a special show. We're going to be talking to Mrs. Fender and Randall Bell about their new book that they both co-published, Leo Fender, The Quiet Giant Heard Around the World. And we have to open up with that song because I'll let Mrs. Fender and Randall tell you a little bit about that. I'm going to bring them both into the studio. And again, if you'd like to listen to the show, you may do so. There's a chat room that's open, and the show will be available afterwards on iTunes and also on Red Velvet Media, Blog Talk Radio On Demand. So let me bring both of them into the studio right now, and we are going to have fun. Randall, are you there?
Hi, Holly. It's good to be here.
Mrs. Fender.
You're so cute. Yes.
You told me a little story before we started this show. It's just so cute. So I want, you know, you both are so cute. This book, amazing book, and so many great stories. I mean, I was just so, it was thrilling to read this book. It's got such great, cute things in there and really interesting stuff about Leo and about, it was like a journey for you guys, and you're still continuing on this journey. Both of you are. And Randall, your father worked with Leo, correct?
Yeah. My dad, I grew up in Fullerton. My mom's 96 and two streets away from Mrs. Fender, and it's all part of just a great Fullerton legacy.
Oh, wow. Well, let's first talk about why we opened up with Glen Campbell, because I know that Fender's used by most of the greatest out there. I've had so many musicians on my show that have used that use Fender and still are. And why don't we talk a little bit about why we opened up with Glen Campbell and then a little bit about the book, and then we'll just go, you know, back and forth on some things here. Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
So, Mrs.
Anytime.
Fender, tell me.
Yes.
Glen Campbell. Why Glen Campbell?
Well, he actually was one of the musicians that Leo was favored by. I mean, he just loved to hear Glen Campbell play. And once in a while, he'd say, "Look at that man's hands go." You know, if we happen to see him on TV or something like that. And he said, "Look, Phyllis, look," you know. And sometimes I wondered if he was really interested in the song or if he was just really interested in how he played the guitar. And Leo was always watching. Whenever we would go someplace and someone was playing a guitar, his eyes were just glued to the fingers going 90 for nothing. That was wonderful for him. That was even more than the music. But and if they happened to be playing a Fender guitar, that was always wonderful too. But we appreciated Glen Campbell even if he wasn't playing Fender. But
no. Yeah,
anyway,
no, and you know, that's great. What were you saying?
Oh, no, that's fine.
No,
I
to hear the story.
Well, no, Leo just loved to hear people play, but he was really technical in his watching. It wasn't like just his ears were watching, but he had hearing aids in, so he could hear them really good. But his eyes were just glued to the hand moving. And I guess he figured if the hand and the music came out together, it was a good thing. And it made him happy. And he did love to hear the musicians, although he didn't listen to a lot of musicians. He wasn't one to go around and see a bunch of shows or have them in his studio or anything like that. But there once in a while would be a musician that he really enjoyed. And in the early years, it was like this, the Sons of the Pioneers and that type of music. And it gradually changed, as we all do. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about country music when I met Leo. I really read some books on country music so I would know how to talk to him.
Are you kidding?
No.
So funny. Oh, that's so cute.
And I listened to some country music on the TV or the radio. Until I got to the point where, hey, you know what? I really like this. And so it was one of those things you knew as a new bride, you learned to do new things like that. And I was glad I did. I was glad.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. This book, it goes really from, like, when he was goes straight through, you know, from when he was a child straight through to, you know, where both of you are running, you know, the volunteer at the Fullerton Museum, and you guys both talk about all these different wonderful things about him. And Randall, both of you, how did you both decide that this is what you wanted to do, write this book?
He twisted my arm, but he'll tell you
the
side of the story.
I didn't have to twist too hard. I you know, the Fenders lived in the neighborhood, but the neighborhood's a very respectful neighborhood. We didn't want to bother. You know, Leo was kind of a quiet guy, and I knew that from my dad. But when I met Mrs. Fender, she was telling stories, and I went up to her, and I said, you know what? You're not telling stories. You're telling history, and this story has to be documented. This is mm-hmm. really priceless information. And so I said, you know, we're going to start writing a book, and we're going to meet at Pauline's Pie Palace, which is down the street. It was one of Leo's favorite places.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes there. It's right up the street from where the Stratocaster was invented, literally mm-hmm. just a block or two away. And we sat down at Pauline's and strategized putting a book together, and I'm sure glad we did because these stories are just priceless.
Oh, they are. They are.
And they're all true. And they're all true.
Oh, well, that's the best part. That's the best part. And, you know, who knew? This is the gentleman who invented the electric guitar and created – I was reading some other details in the book because I did read the book, and then there were some other things that stuck out to me, like how he was the first one to create musical instruments with the color red and turquoise and – the pale, you know, vintage colors, just unbelievable, like where his imagination went. And then the part where you just told me where he was just used to watch and liked to watch people. I cracked up on the story when you guys went to the silk factory and he was underneath the sewing machine watching how it worked.
Oh, dear, that was a day, I'll tell you. I thought we were going to get stuck in China for the rest of our life because mm-hmm. I couldn't find him.
Well,
oh,
you guys
dear,
both
dear.
Traveled, yeah, so much
yeah.
traveling. And I think, you know, why don't we start a little bit at the beginning? Let's talk, you know, Leo was where he was born, you know, and a little bit about his childhood and how you two met. I love the story about how you went over there to buy a Mary oh. Kay lipstick. You sat next to him.
Yeah.
And he called you on the phone to ask you to go to a Christmas dinner. That was
yeah.
great.
Yeah, well, you know what? Neither one of us expected to have a partner. His
mm-hmm.
wife had died a year or so before I had ever met Lee, and I never even heard of Leo. I didn't know what he did. I didn't know he was famous. He just was the boss of my best friend at church, and that's the way it happened. And Leo was having a really difficult time with Esther's memory. And they sort of brought me into the picture because I was doing some writing about, you know, we have to be responsible for our own happiness. I can't depend on my family, my church, my dog to make me happy. I have to make me
mm-hmm.
happy. And when
mm-hmm.
they brought me in to talk with him, he broke down crying, saying, I will never be able to make myself happy. I don't know how. And I said, yes, you can, Leo. You just have to work on it. But he said, I didn't spend enough time with Esther. And I said, but it's too late to worry about that. Now you have to worry about tomorrow. And
mm-hmm.
we went back and forth like this, and finally George and Lucille Fullerton, his vice president and one of the singers in the choir with me at church, brought me to their home and said, you're going to talk to Leo and make him laugh. And so I did. And they sat me next to him at the dinner table, and I made him laugh, and George and Lucille laughed, and they looked at me and said, if we knew all we had to do was put a blonde next to him, we'd have done it a year ago.
That is so cute.
And that was the beginning, because it was after that that he invited me to the Christmas party. So, you know, it was one of those things that just sort of melded into reality. Neither one of us were expecting it. Neither one of us were looking for it. And it just said, you know what? It's going to happen. So it did. And history was made, as they say. And, but
that's
Randy has had a whole different viewpoint, because he knew Leo way before I knew Leo. And so he knew a lot of stories to tell me, and from his father, and made me understand the man a little more than just seeing him at the dinner table. So it was a good time. It was a good time. And getting married on the Love Boat wasn't bad.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that, too. Well, let's talk about that now. You two decided to get married, and let's talk about where you two got married.
Oh,
let's talk
well,
about this. It's so funny.
Well, it was where we got married and when we got married was all depending on what kind of stuff was on Leo's calendar. It was all about work. No, we can't go there because I have to do blank, 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 or you have to do this, or this, and it was around and around and around. So finally, we just went down to the travel agency and said, what do you have going out around this date, and where is it going? And so it was going to Mexico and then into the Caribbean, and it just happened to be the Love Boat. And so it sounded nice for a wedding to have on the Love Boat, you know. It just sounded like it must be perfect. And it was perfect. It was fun. We had a good time. The waters were calm. The food was good. And there was a lot of music on the ship. He spoke to a lot of the musicians, mostly European orchestras, and they would stand out. They would stand outside our bedroom door when they found out he was there and put little notes under the door. Could we have your picture, Mr. Fender? Could I have your autograph, Mr. Fender? And they'd be all around the ship waiting for him. And it was fun because he got to do something that he had not done in ages. And I got to swim in the swimming pool. So, you know, it was good for both of us. And so the ships were good. We went on 11 cruises in the 11 and a half years that we were together. And all over the world, But that was the only thing he would stop working for, would be take a cruise. But he worked the whole time. He would be drawing or correcting blueprints or things like that the whole time. And I'd be out talking and talking and talking and eating.
I know he loved to eat, as Randall was telling us about the pie shop down there. So, you know, I love all the stories in here about, you know, your honeymoon and what you found on your wedding night in the bathroom. That was funny.
That's almost everybody's favorite story when they read the book. They kept saying, how did you write that in there? That's kind of personal. And I went, well, you have to read it twice to make sure you're reading the good one, you know. And and it is fun. I know I've done it in front of a large crowd, and start talking about honeymoon pictures, and I tell everybody it's okay, it's clean, you know, you don't have to worry with your children here.
Oh, sure.
But anyway, it was a clean story.
Yeah, no, and we should talk about that. But Randall, I wanted to ask you, how long did you know Leo?
Well, it's kind of since my earliest memories. It goes way back. But Leo was, you know, in life, I think we need heroes. And Leo and my dad and some of the other guys, Freddie Tavares is a famous name from the Fender legacy. These are all my heroes. You know, my dad was a lot like Leo. He was a quiet mechanical engineer type of guy. But it was really interesting down at the plant because you'd see – you know, these rock stars with, you know, hair down to their ankles and a tarantula tattooed to their face. And it didn't really matter. I mean, these guys really connected over the music. And even though they were very, you know, very different generations and viewpoints in life, it was really cool to see the connection. And Leo was such a great guy. You know, everybody at the plant, everybody in the neighborhood just loved the guy. I've never heard a negative word about Leo Fender. He was just... he was the kind of guy that I think is inspiring as a legacy. I'll tell you one quick story. At the plant, Leo would go around the whole production line every day, and there was a new guy on the production line, and Leo walked up and said, "Hey, you know, I suggest you might want to do your job kind of this way." And the guy had no idea who Leo was because Leo dressed like everyone else. He didn't show off. And the guy said, "Well, look, buddy, you do your job, and I'll do mine." And you know how Leo responded? He goes, "Okay," and kept going. So, you know, Leo was just had an even temperament. He was always thinking. He was always engineering. So always inventing, and he created a remarkable legacy. And I just can't say enough about the privilege it is to really kind of document his life.
Yeah, I mean Fender. I mean, it's like there are so many musicians. I mean, or that's all they'll use, and it's just the Stratocaster and the whole story about it and everything. It's just so amazing, and how he invented the guitar and him drawing all the time and creating new things. It just and he had a really close relationship with Les Paul. I was reading in the book here. I'm looking at some of the other notes I made here. Did you want to talk?
Okay.
Yeah, there's so many amazing things, you know, in this book. I mean, you know, your honeymoon, going traveling, the fact that you guys, when you were on one of your cruises, you guys sat at the captain's table and he was drawing a guitar on a linen napkin. you know,
you never knew what was going to happen with Leo. it was a ride the whole way. It was good. And I brought him a home ready-made family, and he brought me the music world. So I think
that's
it came
beautiful.
Out pretty even.
You
came
did.
Out really beautiful. Yeah, yeah. So
why don't we talk a little bit about the music part real quick here. Randall, do you you said he used to have a lot of people coming in there. What kind of music, who have you met, and who was he really close to and working with a lot that used to come into Fender?
Yeah, great question, Holly. The thing is that with Leo Fender and with any of the guys at the plant, I say guys, men and women, anybody at the plant, it didn't matter if you were, rock star, famous, or if you were a brand new beginner, everyone had the same level of respect. Everyone was respected. Leo never asked for autographs. I mean, everybody came through that plant. That came to play at the Anaheim Stadium or down at the convention center, they would always come through the Fender plant. So you name a rock star of any consequence or any musician of any consequence, they've been through the Fender plant. And it didn't faze anybody. I mean, Prince came through, and he had a special custom purple guitar, and Prince didn't want to leave until he met Leo Fender, and Leo was too busy in his lab. He wasn't impressed by notoriety. I mean, he had more fame and money than anybody. That wasn't what drove him. And finally, the guy, you know, pleaded with Leo. He says, "Look, this guy Prince isn't going to leave until you come out. So get out here." So Leo came out, and Prince said, "Hey, I want you to promise to me you never, you know, paint another guitar this shade of purple." And Leo says, "Oh, sure, I can promise that." And they shook hands, and Leo went back to work. So
Wow.
The funny thing is, there was only one rock band that kind of turned people off, because, and I probably shouldn't even say their name, a very famous rock band. But for the most part, like 99.9% of the time, everyone just got along brilliantly. And you name them, they came through the plant.
Mm-hmm. Did you meet any of these people at all? Did you meet any of them?
No.
I mean, no, Eric Clapton loves Fender and quite a few other people. Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix. Wow. Everybody. The thing is that, like, my dad would come home and he'd say, you know, I was with this guy today talking about Lug Nuts, and because they did drums down there too. And he said, he's the nicest guy. And he says, I think his name's Carl. And I said, you mean as in Carl Palmer of Emerson, Lake and Palmer, that's playing at the Anaheim Stadium tonight? And he goes, yeah, he said he had something to do. And I go, I said, Dad, why didn't you invite me down? I mean, we lived real close to the plant. And my dad just looked at me, and he didn't have to say anything. You just didn't do that. That's not what it was about. It was about the purity of the instrument, getting the vibe the instrument the musician wanted. It wasn't about a big show. It wasn't about autographs and pictures. It was really I can't overstate the pure music vibe that was there. And it didn't matter if you were where you were on the spectrum. If you loved music, you were there to really dial in on that.
Oh, totally. I get that one. I know. I totally understand that, Randall. That's so funny you should say that, because, you know, working in the industry that I'm working in as well, you know, and besides doing radio shows and events and stuff, I meet people every day, and some of these people are friends, you know, and they're just like everyday people to me, but it's like, you know, they're very well known or whatever, and it is, you just don't ask them, hey, you know, can I get your autograph for someone or whatever? You know, now it's like, it's people are doing a lot of benefits and they're out there and they're mixing it up with the people, you know, the public. They're connecting more, I think. And, you know, I do miss the old type. I miss the big concerts, you know, where they were more, I don't know, what's the word that I'm looking for that? Well, they were just more, not so engineered, you know what I mean? They were more free, like, to do whatever, and it was fun. So we didn't have to worry about all the crazy stuff going on, you know? And so now it's like, you know, the music industry has changed a little bit as far as playing. And then what's really cool is also a lot of people coming and playing independently, you know, open mic nights, people just show up and play. Someone will show up like Steven Tyler or whatever, or, you know, you name anyone just showing up somewhere and they say, hey, I'm here, let me play, you know, and it's awesome. It's just so cool, you know, to hear the stories. I want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a quick story along those lines, Holly. Mrs. Federer were at an event, and we're backstage, and
Randall,
the lead singer from Four.
Randall?
Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're breaking up a tiny little bit, and there's a little echo, and I really want to be able to hear you properly.
Is this better?
Yep.
Okay. Let me tell you this little quick story. We were at this event backstage, and the lead singer from Foreigner came up. And we're chatting and just having a time. And he goes, hey, you want to meet Nancy Wilson? And I said, well, yeah, I do. So, you know, all the public worships the rock stars. And so I'm meeting this rock star. And we go into Nancy's dressing room. And I tell my wife, hey, get Mrs. Fender. We're going to meet Nancy Wilson. I'm freaking out. And so they open the door, and there's Nancy Wilson. We're saying hi. And I said, I'd like you to meet Mrs. Fender. I turn around. Mrs. Fender and my wife are chasing a roast beef sandwich cart, and it puts the
whole
perspective. roast beef sandwiches, and so the public worships the rock stars. The rock stars worship Mrs. Fender, and Mrs. Fender's chasing the roast beef sandwich. So, roast beef sandwiches are at the top of the food chain of this whole music thing.
Oh, there goes.
Okay.
There you go. There goes all my secrets.
Oh no. We gotta talk about food now. We know Leo loved to eat, and
yes.
I also know, Mrs. Fender, that your family was in the baking business. I read a little bit about
yes.
that, and I heard your mother fired you from your job because you needed to go home and take care of your husband.
That's what she told me, and I was amazed. I didn't get a gold watch or a dinner or anything. They just fired me after 22 years. I thought that was pretty chicken. But it was true. Leo did need me at home. By this time, he had Parkinson's disease and bulbar palsy and was in need of a caregiver, and that's what I wanted to be for him, is to be there and to make him feel safe and happy in those days. So it worked out just fine. My dad missed me though, but my mom just thought it was funny.
Did Leo play guitar?
Leo did not play the guitar. He cannot tune a guitar. He cannot do anything but make beautiful guitars. So that's why he has all of these people working for him. He makes guitars, and he has them come in his office, and they play it. And if it's the tune and the sound and everything that he was aiming for, then it's a success. And otherwise, the guy from back in the plant keeps playing and keeps playing until Leo says, that's it, you know. And but he didn't know how to do any of those. Or no, I shouldn't say he didn't know how. He chose not to learn to play the guitar because he said that that would take time away from the construction and the sale of the guitars.
Really?
He would be using all of his time from that he would use in drawing his all of his patterns and everything. But if he didn't play the guitar, the guys in the back could come in at lunchtime and entertain him. But he didn't take time for himself to do these things. You know, we all do me things sometime in our life. He didn't do me. Well, I take that back. I take that back just a little bit. He did like a white car. He told everybody
to
buy a white car. He said you're safer in a white car than anything else, and he loved white cars. So he and I both had white cars the whole time we were married.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and what a cool thing.
And he got to the point where he insisted that anybody working in his office had to have a white car also, because he didn't want them getting into an accident and being late for work. That's true. I only tell true stories.
You know, I want to ask you, what was one of his favorite guitars that he created? Do you know?
The last one he was working on. I mean, the last one that he was working on was his favorite. And then he would design a new one, and then that would be his favorite. And then that would be, but probably the Strat over all of them, but had the best history with him. But he was always excited when there was a new one on the table.
Really?
Did he
own a lot? Did he have a lot of guitars at home?
He never brought one guitar home.
You're kidding.
The only time there were if there were any Fender guitars in our house was when my two sisters, who both play guitar, were in the house. And during the holiday season, our family, after we've eaten, we like to sit on the floor and have somebody strum, and we sing, and then that's the way the guitars got to be played, only during holidays with my family sitting on the floor. And that was a good thing, you know. It was
oh,
fun.
Wow.
And
that
I don't play guitar because I won't cut my fingernails. And that was That was another little thing that Leo, I got after Leo for. I asked him, I said, honey, you make guitars for everybody in the world, in anything they want. You just go and get it for them and make it. And I said, why can't you make a guitar a woman can play with fingernails? And he just very quietly looked at me and said, well, Phyllis, you can either play the guitar or you can have fingernails. You have to decide. And I went, but that's not fair. And he said, it's your choice. Well, to this day, I still have fingernails.
Oh, that is funny. No, you know, that's great. What a great story. And Randall, your story about Prince and about the people coming in, you know, I want to ask you another thing. Do you guys remember, well, I'm sure you both do, remember when Jimi Hendrix set the guitars on fire on stage? What did he feel about that?
Well, he felt like they were burning up his children.
Oh.
But Randy can probably put better words to that. But that's how Leo and I felt. Yeah, they were burning up his
Leo
children on
like
the stage.
Leo didn't like that at all. But my dad would laugh and just say, that's fine, we'll make him a new one.
Oh, that's funny. That's really funny. Well, you know, I know there are so many people, you know, that love Fender, and I want to talk to you, Mrs. Fender, about when Keith Richards was presented you with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when Leo was inducted. So
yes.
How'd that feel for you?
Well, it was one of the first things that I did as Mrs. Fender, and it was pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
I did not really know a lot of these stars and things, and I was sort of, it was in New York. My mom had come with me, and it was a beautiful, beautiful big place, a hotel and
mm-hmm.
everything. And they had told me that they would present this for Leo, but to me. And so Keith Richards came down to the dinner table where my mom and I were sitting, and introduced himself. He said, "I'm going to be working with you on the stage. I just wanted to let you know I'll help you up the stairs, and I'm really impressed with your husband's work, and I'll take good care of you." And I was just really pleased because I was scared. There were like 2,000 or 3,000 people in the room that night,
mm-hmm.
And I had not done that much speaking in front of that many people, but he did. He helped me, took my hand, and we walked up the stairs, and he introduced me and said, "Here's the microphone," and I got through it all because he had made me feel so comfortable, and I could tell that he was famous. And he was being nice to me. So I bet all the rest of these people are going to be nice to me. And they did. And I spoke for a little while. They gave me the trophy, which they took back and never gave me another one. But they said, that's what they said. We'll give you one to take home. But it never got home. But it was
ooh.
A very lovely evening, except when the next day at the hotel, they didn't know who in the world Mrs. Fender might be, and it didn't matter because I was nobody, and I got ignored completely. It was the funniest. My mom and I laughed our heads off. They said we should have made the night last longer because this morning nobody knows who we are.
You were incognito almost.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. We couldn't even get a taxi.
Are you? Oh, that is funny. That is funny. I want to ask you real quick. I want to go back to why you were not able to take the award back home with you. What happened with that?
Well, they wanted that particular one because it was the original one. They wanted it to go into the museum there in whatever state it is that starts with O.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Ohio.
Yeah, Ohio, where the plant is with all the nice things. And they kept, you know, but they just never got around to sending me a copy of it. And after a while, it didn't matter because they we knew that he had gotten it, and people that in the industry knew he had gotten it, so it was okay. But they did invite
me back. Well, Randall, we got to get her an award to bring home.
I'm on
okay?
it.
Okay. And I know quite a few people that are involved in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that are judges, and that maybe we can talk about this later off the air. Wow, that is so crazy. And so it was Keith Richards. That's so amazing. What an honor, huh?
He was lovely. And I tell people he kissed me on my cheek, and they're all jealous. They keep saying, have you washed it yet this morning? And I went, well, no. And they say, well, in that case, I'm going to kiss you too. So the lady keeps kissing my cheek. So I have a lot of ladies kissing my cheek.
And what did you tell me before we started the show today? That Willie Nelson gave you a kiss too recently?
Yes, Randy was embarrassed. No, he kissed me very gentlemanly, like on the cheek, in front of his mother, his sister, and some grandchildren, and we were near on the stage area of a concert that Randy took me to, and he was very, very much the gentleman, but it was fun to have a picture of it. And yes, I did wash my cheek, but I only in one area, not the kiss area.
Hey, I read in the book that you and Leo had an argument about Willie Nelson. What was that about?
Well, one night we were just sitting at the dinner table, just talking about this. What did you do at work today? Because I was still working. For my father, and we were telling back and forth. I said, what did you do? And he said, I just was working on some guitars and stuff. And I just said, I didn't think it was naughty. I just said, you know what, honey? If you could make a guitar that sounded like Willie Nelson, you might be famous someday. And he stood up from the table, put his hands on his hips, and glared at me and said, "I don't think that's funny." And he turned around and walked into his bedroom office, and I didn't see him till the next evening. So that taught me my lesson.
Randall, tell me about this concert. Went to the concert to see Willie Nelson.
It was so funny. Willie came up to me, and I said, Mr. and Mrs. Fender only had one argument, and you want to know what it was about? And Willie said, tell me. And I said, it was over you. And Willie goes, good. That's the way I like it.
This is such a fun interview. Don't you agree? This is great.
It's so funny to see these rock stars that have thousands and thousands of fans out in the bleachers and everything, the seats and everything, and they're just worshiping Mrs. Fender, and she's just oblivious to it all. It's absolutely a crack up.
And she couldn't get a taxi. She couldn't get a taxi.
No, but I didn't have my name tag on, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, that is so funny. Well, this is just so great. So you both are in the Fullerton area, which let's talk a little bit about where that's located. That's in Southern California.
Yeah, Randy can tell you all about that. I get lost.
Yeah. I lived down there for a long time, Randy. Not in Fullerton, but in Orange County. Yeah, I was in Orange County for quite a long time with the on the. You know, do you know where the, you know, the little areas down there where the beaches are? It's really beautiful. So I moved from there to up here. Yes.
Randy lives there.
Yeah. But when you come, Holly, when you come down here, we'll take you to Leo's workspace at G&L Guitar, because they haven't, the
really?
Guys here preserved it. It hasn't been touched since the day Leo passed away. So come on down to Fullerton, and we'll show you the actual bench where Leo embedded everything. But, you know, Fullerton's just
Are
right by
kidding?
Disney. Are
you kidding? Oh, I would
town.
Love that.
Yeah. 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 Seriously.
I know. Yeah. And I know where, because I, Tustin, I used to do some events in Tustin, but I lived down in Orange County for 19 years.
Ooh,
it was,
that's great.
Beautiful. Yeah, it was really, really nice. And now I'm up here in wine country, so it's really nice, different. well, I'll tell you what's really nice about here right now, and this is the perfect time, except today, as I told you before we started, we're having rolling blackouts, and there's fires nearby, and I'm looking outside, and it's smoky, and the sky's a weird color. So I just want to say, you know, this time of the year is just an absolutely gorgeous time, except today. But, you know, I mean, we get to see the changing of the seasons here because of the fact that we're close to the Oregon border. So it's like the trees are absolutely gorgeous. And I'll send you guys some pictures of.
Wonderful.
I will do that. And I have to tell you, I definitely, Randall, I want to definitely take you up on going to see Leo's workbench and stuff. And let's talk a little bit about the Fullerton Museum that you have, that's there for Leo.
Well, gee, anybody who's into music needs to go to that museum. They've done a absolute spectacular job of preserving Leo's legacy. You have the very first guitar Leo ever invented in the 1940s, right all the way down to the last G&L guitar he handled the day before he passed away. Leo passed away literally getting ready to go to work. The guy was just passionate about it.
I read that. Yeah.
Yeah, anybody into music should go there. Leo loved Les Paul. He there was not a competitive thing. They were making the world better for everyone, having more music. So this is part of the celebration of the evolution of music and life and all that happens because of this great legacy. So we'll take you there too.
Oh, I would love to. And you know, I was reading in the book how he and Les used to sit out on the porch and drink lemonade on a Sunday and talk about guitars there were some funny conversations that took place between the two of them. There's always room for a second and stuff like that. I thought that was great. You know,
well, that's what the book is all about, just to have some fun.
Oh, no. Yeah. And now let's give out a website where people can get this book and also a little bit. Let's give out the address for the Fullerton Museum as well, too. Randall, do you have any of that with you, that information? Because I don't have that.
Yeah, it's real easy, Holly. Yeah, just go to leofender.com, and that's the website with the book. Or, you know, you can't order the book there. Just go to, Amazon or every bookstore in the world carries it now. And the museum is just on, I think it's on Pomona. Just Google it. I don't know the address on that. It's literally just a block or two from 105 South Harbor, which is where Leo invented the world's first electric guitar, which ironically is just up the street where Leo was born on a barn on Harbor Boulevard, across the street a guy named Carl Karcher invented Carl's Jr., and just down the street, a guy
named
Disneyland. So Harbor Boulevard is where
that's
it's at.
That's right.
I'm going to start a business.
Wait, so that was what that was about, where it was the quote. Could you say that quote about Walt Disney created? I remember reading that somewhere here.
Yeah, Walt Disney started Disneyland down on Harbor Boulevard. Leo invented the electric guitar on the harbor. And Carl Karcher started Carl's Jr. right across the street from where Leo was born.
Wow.
It's kind of an epicenter of explosion of invention.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting. I wonder what that one area right there, it's so iconic.
It's
Randall,
magic.
Could you tell?
It's magic.
Oh yeah, no. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is all magic. And you know, I'm going to extend the interview a little bit. Do you both have time? A little bit more time to spend on the phone with me?
I plan waiting until later to have dinner, and I will be talking with you for as long as you want.
Oh, I want to talk to you guys because you're both so just – I love this conversation, the way it's going, and I'm just so – no, really, seriously, this is, like, so much fun, and I know a lot of people are listening. So I want to say real quick again, this is Red Velvet Media, and you can listen to the show if you missed the beginning of it afterwards as a podcast on iTunes and also on Red Velvet Media. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Mrs. Fender and also Randall Bell, who is with us, whose father worked with Mr. Fender, Leo Fender, at the plant. And getting back to, I wanted to ask you, Randall, I know a little bit about the first guitar he ever made. I saw a picture of it. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that and tell us a little bit of the history of the first guitar?
Yeah, I mean, there's some controversy over who invented the electric guitar, but I've researched that, I think, deeper than anybody ever has, and there's no question it was Leo Fender invented the solid-body electric guitar. There were some hollow-body guitars or acoustic guitars people were putting microphones on, or pickups on, but those weren't, you know, authentic electric guitars. But I mean, Mrs. Fender can tell the story how Leo got the idea to invent it. But I can tell you the first model was the Fender Esquire, and then that became the Fender Broadcaster. And then Gretsch, who Fender has since bought out the company, but Gretsch threatened Leo with a lawsuit over the use of the name Broadcaster, so there became the No-Casters, which are worth more than a house today. And then that
You're
turned
kidding.
Into the Telecaster.
Wow.
I just bought a Fender Esquire, a 59 Fender Esquire, and it's worth three times more than my car.
What?
You know, it plays beautifully. But, you know, Mrs.
What
Fender,
color
why
is
talk
it?
About,
what color is it, Randall?
It's honey yellow color with a maple
I
neck.
I love that
it's just
color.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, like the
and
baby.
Think about it,
the baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
The
just
pale
the same
yellow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mrs. Fender?
Yes?
Randall, I'm sorry. Randall, I was switching so fast over to Mrs. Fender. I wanted to ask her the question that you had suggested I ask her about how he invented the first guitar. But finish your thought, Randall, before I go and ask her that. What were you saying about your guitar?
Oh, I was just going to say,
great.
Let's have Mrs. Fender tell us how it invented. She knows the story better than me.
Yeah.
I don't.
You do.
I wasn't there.
No, where Leo went to the stamp at War Bond Dance.
Oh, that story. Oh, okay. Because I kept thinking I didn't even know Leo Fender when he did that.
Wow.
Yeah, share that with us.
I know what you mean now. I'm just being blonde. So we'll
she's being blonde.
I'm just being blonde.
I'm blonde too. So we can join a little gang here.
Yeah. So no, he wasn't able to go into World War II because he had a glass eye and he wore hearing aids, so the Army would not, you know, accept him. And yet he felt so important, he felt it was so important that he do something. So many of the towns around out of the United States to have war bond dances where they could have sell the war bonds and the stamps to help pay for the war. And And Leo had his radio shop, which was all electrical stuff, and they knew that he could put the lights up and put the sound system up for them. And so that's what he started doing. And these dances were like every week or every other week, and he felt like he was doing his work for the war effort. And one night when he had finished putting up the tables and chairs and the lights, he just sat down at the by the area there where they had the band, and was watching and listening to the band, and he happened to be keep looking down the whole row to the guitar players, and they were just playing their fool heads off, just going 90 for nothing, and yet he couldn't hear anything because the drums and the horns and all that, which were right behind the guitars, were wiping them out. Well, as it would happen, the guys came in the radio shop the next night or two just to ask some questions about electronics, and they were sort of moaning and groaning into him, and he said, "You guys, nobody can hear you." And he said, "Yeah, that's what we find out." And Leo, when they left, he got a hunk of wood, a big hunk of wood, and he took the whole inside of it. He peeled it out with his tools and made a hollow in the center of it. And that was the beginning of his guitar world. From that one, he made it and he gave it to the guitarist, and they could finally be heard because it was electrified. And that was the start of his very thing. He was doing a war effort dance, and the poor guitar players couldn't be heard, and he felt so sorry for them. He designed the guitar that the world loves. It was a wonderful time.
Oh, wow.
You know? Yeah, but he never said, "Yay me, yay me." He always said it needed to be done. It needed. He said it wasn't right that they couldn't hear them. So he was always wanting to do right. Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, that's just some of the...
He was a very giving person from what I'm getting. He was always concerned about, it seems like, everybody else, about the white cars and this and that, which brings me to a question that was suggested I ask. What kind of Christmas presents did Leo give out at Christmas time? I want to hear about that.
Well, Leo had a lovely boat, nice big cruiser that I never saw, and he spent a lot of time down at the shoreline here in California. Uh-huh. And there was a fish hatchery type place down there that did wonderful tuna, they tell me, because I don't eat seafood, because I'm a Pisces, and they're my family, you know, Pisces and fish But anyway, so he would buy cases and cases and cases of canned tuna. And then he would pass them out to some of his friends,
sister.
Yeah, and so this went out. And so the first present he ever gave me was a case of tuna and an umbrella. Really? And it was in a paper bag. But you know
kidding?
What? To him, it was wonderful. And I gave the tuna to my family, and they loved it. And I told him they loved it, and he was nice enough to give them their own separate ones. So they got double tuna.
Oh, that is so funny.
Yeah,
that is so funny. And, you know, I love the fact that you told me you were a Pisces. I was going to ask you, because I'm interested, and I wasn't sure where you were at on that. What sign was Leo?
Leo. He was Leo. What was Mother? August. Leo. Yeah. Leo was a Leo. And,
he was a Leo the lion. Wow.
Yeah. And
Randall, that's crazy. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
Sometimes he acted like the lion, and sometimes he acted like Leo.
Wow. I wonder if that's how he got his first name, Leo, because he was. Do you think?
His first name really was Leonis, L-E-O-N-I-S, or something similar to that.
Leonis, really? Uh-huh. Interesting.
And so they just did Leo. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was born in a barn, he said, right there. Randall,
yeah.
Do you you want to talk a little bit about that, Randall?
Well, the sign is still there. It's just south. It's on Harbor Boulevard where all this happened. It's now a park. There's no remnants of the Fender farm. But, yeah, Leo was born without a lot of money. Mrs. Fender knows the stories better from Leo as far as what his family was like. But, ironically, he never really ran away from his childhood. He literally invented the electric guitar just a few blocks to the north. It's now a national monument. It's now a national historical register, I should say, site. I'm trying to get the city of Anaheim to build some kind of monument there because there should be a monument there. But
absolutely, absolutely, I agree with you on that one. I know Anaheim is pretty cool about doing things. You know, I know that whole area in Tustin, all around there, I know that they like to really embrace a lot of the things that are going on there. That would be great if they did that.
Well, they may not have the funds to do something like that. I know at one time they offered to have him on, they were making like a walk of fame or
Hello? Randall? Randall?
Yeah.
I lost Mrs. Fender.
Oh, I don't know what happened. She's in there talking.
That her call dropped. Tell her that her call dropped,
hey,
so she can call me back.
Your phone dropped.
Real quick.
So I'm going to hand you my phone. Well, I can, as I walk over there, because I'm in a different room. The city of Anaheim, I actually did talk to them, and they said, you know, because at the time Leo was born, they considered that part of Anaheim to be Fullerton, because it was called Fullerton, and Leo went to Fullerton schools his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of their reluctance is because of the fact that the area was kind of considered Fullerton and not Anaheim. But I'm with Mrs. Fender now.
Hello.
Oh, great. Okay.
There you
are. Yeah.
So
you went away. You were probably looking for your dinner, right?
Oh, no. We don't eat till late, honey. We're early to eat and late to sleep, you know. So we're just sitting here talking on the patio.
Oh, I
Randy
love
and
that.
My,
that's
yeah, Randy
so
and
fun.
My daughter and myself and my dog. We're just having a layback here. Having fun talking to you.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, when in your time with Leo, in the time, you know, that you two were out and about and you met people, and then when you found out who you met, besides Willie Nelson, who else was one of your, the most, do you have any stories of anybody else that you met that you'd like to share with our listeners, that besides Keith Richards and Willie Nelson and stuff like that? That are kind of fun.
Well, there's a whole bunch. You know, the guitarist from, you know, Billy Idol's guitarist, and golly, the guy from the Doors. I mean, they all just fawn over her, and she, like I say, I'm sitting there just in awe, meeting these people. But Mrs. Fender's just, like I say, you know, looking for the roast beef sandwich.
She's not, oh, that's funny.
You know, but they all just worship her and kind of sit at her feet and just like they're at, you know, they climb the Himalayas and they open the door to the guru with all life's answers.
You
can kill,
my friend.
Oh, you guys are funny.
Oh, people have
Hello?
Been very, very kind to me. And you know, I did the laundry and cooked his stew, and he did all the hard work. So it was a fun time.
Oh, that's so sweet, you know. And I know it must have been really hard for you when he left. But he's never really gone. He's around you all the time. Just think about that.
I believe,
you know, his,
in that. And he had come to love the Lord, and that he's where I'm going to be going. And so we'll see each other again. It's not going to be a problem.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, no. And so what's a typical day for you like, Mrs. Fender? Besides talking
right
on the phone to me.
right now is not real typical. I'd had an accident and sort of got run over by a car on my legs. I'm getting well. Yeah, I know. It sounds crazy.
You weren't in your white car.
So.
You weren't a white car.
Actually, it was a yellow one.
I'm going to wrap her up in bubble wrap. She's just always, you know, having these accidents.
No, I'm getting
better. Oh, that is so cute.
And Randy and my family keep me laughing. So, I'm going to be working back at the museum really soon. And Randy and I are going to get some projects going. And my family are spectacular.
That's fantastic.
So,
what do you guys have planned for the holidays? What do you guys have planned for the holidays, both of you?
Cooking a lot and hugging them. We have three brand new great grandbabies that just came the last couple months, and so we'll be inviting them into the family.
Well, she doesn't. She doesn't know it. We're going to make a documentary.
Are you?
We're just waiting for her to heal
you?
Up. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Really. Oh, that's really okay. So listen to me, Randall. When you guys do this doc, I would love to have you guys back. And who are you doing the doc with? Who's doing that with you, Randall?
Well, we've got a contract. We've got a couple contracts, but we're waiting on some details. But one way or another, in January we're going to start. I've got a couple options. And I'm going to pick the final option. And Mrs. Fender doesn't know this, but we're going to start that documentary in January when she's all healed up. So.
Oh, that is so cool.
Really nice. But one thing, please, at least when my legs are sore, I'm sitting down, so you know where I am.
Randall, this will be so cool. Oh, Randall, the documentary thing, I think, is going to be really important because, really seriously, I mean, he's very well respected, and you of all people know that. Now, you know, I want to ask you, I know because your father worked with Mr. Fender, with Leo, how did you come to be so close to to Mrs. Fender? How did you two, you know, come together?
I just kind of, you know, I'm like a bull in a china shop, just kind of barged my way in. I felt passionately, Holly. I mean, seriously, I felt passionately that this was a story. I was just astounded that a book had not been written on this. And it, you know, really, in retrospect, it makes sense because Leo was so quiet. But, you know, Mrs. Mm-hmm. Fender's never been a microphone she didn't like. And when I met her, I just thought, Corey, I'm an author, and I just thought this has to be documented. I mean, where on planet Earth do you meet a guy who was born in a barn, literally had his eye out at the age of 8, you know, had a glass eye.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, honestly, he's kind of a little quiet and socially awkward. He invents something iconic. I mean, how many things that are invented in the 1940s are still iconic today? He was, and I'll give you a little quiz, Holly. When he was living in a mobile home, they deposited a check in today's dollars for $300 million into his checking account. And here's the quiz, Holly. Where do you think Leo moved?
Stayed in the mobile home.
You got it right. He did not move. Yeah, and they moved in our neighborhood when the family expanded. But Leo Fender, you know, had the challenge. You know, I think we're on Earth to build character is what I think, something we're at least
absolutely.
I'm still working on. Yeah, and so Leo had the challenges of disability and being deaf and half blind. Then he had the challenges of being rich and famous. And the whole time he was the same good, solid man of character the whole way through. If that's not an example of a life well lived, I don't know what is, and that's got to be documented.
Mm-hmm.
We've done the book, but I feel we need to do a documentary. So that's just next year's project.
Oh no, absolutely, absolutely. I fully embrace that, and I encourage, and I wish you guys the best of luck on that. I've worked with a lot of people that do documentaries and have done documentaries, and I'm going to tell you, his story definitely needs to be told. And wow, I just am so excited. I'm so excited for you guys because this will be so much fun. And especially for you, Mrs. Fender. I mean, could you imagine?
Yeah.
This is going to be like you're going to get to see this in front of you and relive all this again like we did today, you know?
Well, it's going to be fun, and at least I know what I'm going to be doing next year. Thanks for sharing the news.
Oh, no. Randall, you're so funny. You didn't even tell her.
No.
Well, that was
your
early
first
Christmas
on your show.
Present. That was your early Christmas present, Mrs. Fender, okay?
I was hoping for some chocolates, but then whatever.
Give me your chocolate.
Wait, Thieves Candy? Let me guess. Thieves Candy, right? Because you're right there.
Yeah.
You're right there or where they're.
Milk,
yeah.
The milk chocolate ones, please.
Oh, yeah.
Milk
I like, you know what my favorite are? The vanilla lollipops that they make. Those are so good.
Aren't those good? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Some of those
are
nice
the
mice. Too.
Randall, you better be ready getting your list made out for what you're going to be getting.
I'm just shaking my head. I'll buy the seed candy, whatever it takes. Let's just get this documentary done.
And a case of tuna. And a case of tuna.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, she hates seafood.
Away.
I don't dare get seafood around Mrs. Fender. She'll start throwing furniture.
You know what? You know, when you told me that you didn't eat seafood, it brought
uh-huh.
up a memory for me because, you know, in England, and I lived there for, you know, a while, and the royal family, they're not allowed to eat seafood when they travel at all. That's one of the rules. They're not allowed to eat seafood because they possibly could get sick. So they don't want to think, you know, they can get sick on it. That's one of the things that they follow. So I was thinking, I wonder why she doesn't like seafood. Now I know, because you're a Pisces.
Yeah, I'm a Pisces. Besides that,
that's
I
awesome.
Don't like it.
Well, you know, this has been so much fun talking to you guys, and I want to ask you, Randall, real quick. You said you were an author, and I knew that. I did a lot of research on what you've done as well. What are you currently working on besides just the documentary?
Oh, gee, thanks for asking, Holly. I wrote a textbook called Real Estate Damages, which I don't recommend. It's 504 pages of quote form. Then I wrote a book that's done pretty well on, because I study disasters as an economist. That's my real job. And so I wrote a book called Me, We, Do, Be. Yeah, Me, We, Do, Be. And I was recently on the Today Show with it. It's done really pretty well. And then the funnest, the most fun book, the most fun book is the Leo Fender book. And actually, there's some tweaks I want to make to it and come out with a second edition. That's another project. And then the book I'm working on now is kind of weird. It's called Post-Traumatic Thriving, and it's about people who have been, like Leo, who have been through a challenge and come out, you know, really successful at the other end of the tunnel. So it's Post-Traumatic Thriving.
You know what?
I hope to have it about, yeah, what?
You and I need to talk, definitely need to talk off the air. I have some people for you that maybe you would be interested in talking to. Yep.
I'd love to. Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. And,
yeah.
You know, we went, you know, back to Sonoma, you know, last year, October, this whole area burned very badly. You know, we had very bad fires here. I know that LA did as well. But, you know, a lot of people lost their businesses and wineries and vineyards and stuff like that. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people, they had 1 minute to get out of their house, and they just sat there and watched everything burn up that they had their whole life. And these are people that, like the Sebastiani family, you know, and people like that, you know, you just hear about their stories that they all came, you know, where they came from and how they built up. So for me to hear about Leo, it's like, this is, like, so amazing to hear about how the first electric guitar and you, Mrs. Fender, just like your whole take on this. And also, Randall, this is so cool. And I just can't wait for the documentary to come out. That'll be so much fun. But definitely, I would like for to get in touch with you about that. Yeah, that's great. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's these are all fun projects, and they are all hopefully have a little bit of meaning to them as well.
Yeah. And, you know, so we will definitely be in touch with each other. And I know that we've been on this interview for a while, and I really want to tell both of you, thank you so much for spending this time with me and with our listeners. And for everyone listening, because I know there's a lot of people listening, and I don't know, is there anything more that both of you would like to add to this beautiful, you know, interview about Mr. Fender, about anything here that we didn't cover?
No, just
besides
don't
him
give
being
up
wonderful person.
Doing. Don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
And find somebody to be kind to. There's somebody that you can be kind to. So those two things. Don't give up and find somebody to be kind to.
Mm-hmm. And enjoy the music.
Like you. And enjoy the music. You are so funny, Randall. That's great. No,
especially
I love it. And, you know, it's beautiful. And you know, we're going to be ending the show with one of your favorite artists, Mrs. Fender, Willie Nelson. And
thank you. Made my day. Made my day.
Yeah. And the song I'll be playing is my heroes have always been cowboys.
You know
Did
what?
You ever hear
that's
that one? You remember
idea.
That one?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, that's a good
yes,
song.
Yeah.
So I want to thank both of you for being here, and I really, really encourage everyone to go to the website and pick up this book. It comes, I believe it comes in hard edition and soft edition, correct?
No, it's just hard. We're going to have to, I think we're the distributor told me that they're running out. So we're going to do a soft edition, but right now it's just hard. It's just available in hard edition.
Oh, you know what? I'm looking at it. I have an unedited review copy. That's what it is. That's why it's soft. I was wondering.
Yeah, but
I have an unedited version. Ooh.
Yeah.
I'll bring it with me when I see you guys. I'll have you guys sign it. That'll be great.
That sounds like
And
fun.
I'll have this.
That sounds like
Oh, no, absolutely. And I really do look forward to meeting both of you because I plan on being in that area very soon. And so much love to come over and just see, you know, Leo's workspace and meet you and just sit and talk. It would be so much fun because I think that this has been such a fantastic interview today.
Well, come and come visit. We'll take you to Polly Pies where the book was written.
Ooh,
and
nice.
And
we'll go get some See's candy while I'm there too.
There you go. That's just down the road.
That's awesome.
So happy to visit. We'll be happy to visit.
Oh yeah.
With you.
I would.
Yeah,
love
thanks,
that.
Holly.
And
that's really been fun talking to you.
Oh, Randall. Yeah, this has been a great interview, and I really hope that you both enjoyed it as much as I do. So.
Yes,
thank you
sure.
so much for being here today, and you made my day. So. Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing so many beautiful, intimate stories. And I'm sure that we'll be, doing another show, and I'll be meeting you before that. But I definitely want to do another show with you when you start the doc. That would be so much fun. And Randall, please, keep it. I'm going to somehow get in touch with you. I have your number, so I'll get in touch with you and give you my email and all that, so you both can have it, okay?
Yeah, cool. Call anytime.
I will. Tomorrow is Friday. Oh, and that's something I'm going to say. Please don't drink and drive. I always tell people that. And I wanted to say to you, that brought up something else I read in the book about Leo saying he never drank because he always had you drink, order the drinks for him, and then after you took a sip, he'd drink it. So that was funny.
Yeah,
that was such a cute story about the pina colada. I read that. See, I did my homework, guys. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. And with that, we're going to end it. Willie Nelson, you have a nice supper, Mrs. Fender, and Randall, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks again, Holly. Really appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. Okay, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. I'll be here tomorrow. I'll be back on the air, and I'll be talking with a gentleman that has a company called Dress Code and a movie about New York. Tune in tomorrow. My regularly scheduled – oh, no, tomorrow, yeah, 5 o'clock I'm doing a show instead of 2. But thank you guys for being here, and here's the wonderful song just for you, Mrs. Fender. Here you guys go.
Grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. Of a modern day drifter, don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies and leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys. Still unseen, sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams. Cowboy. fellas are special. With their own brand of misery, it'll be in long, too long. You could die from the cold in the arms of a nightmare, knowing well that your best days are gone. Picking up hookers instead of my pen, I let the words of my youth fade away. Old worn out saddles and old worn out memories, but no one and no place to stay. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems. Sadly in search of, and one step and back of themselves and their slow moving dreams. Sadly in search of, and one step and back of themselves and their slow moving dreams.